adventure and new friends are what awaits you in Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek fan club. Starfleet, the International Star Trek Fan Association, is celebrating its 45th anniversary, and with over 4,000 members in 75 countries. It offers camaraderie, educational and philanthropy opportunities, and a unique membership experience modeled on the Starfleet organization from the TV shows and movies. To start your adventure today, visit www.sfi.org.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geek. Well, more exactly, alternately, Future Imperfect, our official Star Trek podcast brought to you by the good folks over at SFI.org, Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club. And while you'll notice I'm not flying with my number one today, I'm not flying with Steve Megatron Phillips as well. I kind of wanted this one by myself, I'm not going to lie. I actually got set up by the folks over at Paramount last night to go check out the Star Trek The Next Generation Blu-ray screening. So big thanks to Paramount for doing that for me. And the reason I bring that up is because they showed two episodes from the upcoming Star Trek The Next Generation Blu-ray set, which actually comes out today in North America. And I actually got a really interesting opportunity. I got contacted by, once again, the folks over at Paramount to talk to Denise and Michael Okuda. Now, these are names you might recognize from the Star Trek fandom, and they've done a lot of cool things like technical stuff. Michael did artwork and even did some stuff for NASA, which is pretty kick-ass. And these guys are very heavily involved in developing the Star Trek The Next Generation HD restoration. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Denise and Michael to the show.
Hello.
Guys, it is a tremendous privilege to talk to you, because going to the screening last night is the first time I've seen Star Trek The Next Generation on the big screen, or at least the Enterprise D, since Generations came out all the way back in the early 90s. So it was a real treat to see this again, and it looks even better than it did way back then, because now it's true HD. So you guys have done a fantastic job.
Well, thank you. It's Star Trek has been an amazing family to be part of. Back in the 80s and 90s when Paramount was making the actual television shows, and of course now the CBS part of the family is remastering the show and giving it every bit as much love, and getting to see that beautiful, beautiful starship on the big screen.
So
we've been very excited for today, because of course this is the release of the Blu-ray, and we feel like we've been having this Christmas present we've wanted to share with all our friends around the world who love Star Trek, and it's finally here, and we couldn't be happier.
Now, speaking of bringing this to Blu-ray, how long has this been in development? Because in one of the special features on the Blu-ray, you guys talk about the restoration process, and you had like 2,500 boxes to go through. That's a lot of damn boxes. So I'm wondering, when did the entire process start?
Process started way back around, what, 05 or so. CBS has wanted to bring this to HD for years and years, but just figuring out the logistics, getting the corporate approvals, bringing everything together has taken until about a year ago.
Yeah, it was almost an impossible feat, and really until the technology caught up, it was even doable. And you're right about the boxes and boxes and boxes of footage. And there is an amazing woman at CBS Digital. Her name is Sarah Paul, and she is responsible for tracking down all of the footage. And she is tenacious, because a lot of times the footage may not be in the episode box. It may have been borrowed or reused from a different show. And so she has to go in search of, and she's amazing.
And, of course, we also have to take off our hats to our friends who worked the original editorial project at Paramount. They did an astonishing job of cataloging and preserving and archiving all this stuff, and it wasn't for what they did, what's happening today would not be possible.
I gotta say, like, you guys have accomplished something quite technically amazing. The fact that you guys are able to restore this, because this is the original film kind of negative, and that's something I think a lot of people don't realize. When you go back and restore something to HD, it's not just as simple as upscaling it and maybe taking the scratches off of it, because it was still filmed like on 35 mil or whatever it was. And
yeah.
It's kind of like when they restored Star Wars. If they didn't do it now, it wasn't going to happen. But it seems like the film itself was particularly well preserved, was it not?
Yes, they literally stored it in a salt mine in temperature, humidity-controlled conditions. So the negative was beautifully stored. And yes, you're also right that simply upscaling the original video just would not have been satisfactory. It's not just that there's less detail, because there is less detail, but also there's a lot less color information per pixel. So by going back to the original film negatives, you get the additional picture detail, you get the additional depth of color, you get so much more that was in the original film that was lost in the murkiness of standard def television.
Now, one of the other things I wanted to talk to you guys about, and because I have a background in sound, I'm a huge fan of the Blu-ray sound mix. Can you guys tell me a little bit about that? Because the original show was mixed in stereo, but the new Blu-ray is in 7.1.
Well, the one of the cool things that again CBS wanted to do is they created a 7.1 mix, which was of course based on the 5.1 Paramount mix, but they also preserved and presented the original stereo track. So you can have the best of both worlds.
When you were putting everything together and you're seeing the process of all these episodes come together, what was that like just to see everything in HD for the first time?
Well, I think I've said this before, but it's so true. Every Wednesday we get together with the folks at CBS Digital and we have a visual effects review. And they will put up on the monitor, they'll put up the standard def reference, and then we'll take a look at the high def. And there have been many times where the entire meeting comes to a complete halt while all of us just say wow and admire the image we're looking at. I mean, it's literally taken our breath away a couple of times.
Now, one of the other cool things that you guys have done, and I'm really happy with this, is you guys put a lot into the special features. In fact, I dare say with the featurette, you've more or less created a new 90-minute documentary working with Roger Lay Jr., who's previously done some work with the most recent Captain Power release on DVD, but also the Masters of the Universe documentary. So what was it like to work with someone you know who has a lot of nerd cred to put together a real interesting set of special features?
We love Roger, and also we love his partner, Robert Meyer Burnett, who, as you say, has got a great deal of nerd cred. They know the stuff. They share our passion for Star Trek. And they're also both excellent, excellent filmmakers. And they, along with CBS Home Entertainment, were just determined to make the ultimate document of the making of this series. And it's not just them. They had support going very high up in the corporation. And everyone just wanted to treat Star Trek with the importance that it is due. They wanted to show that pieces of the story that had never been told before, because even though you've heard this a lot of the stories over and over again, now that it's 25 years later, people can speak more freely than they did back then, and they can look back at it with a little more perspective. And I think if you saw those wonderful pieces from Rick Berman, just getting his perspective on this was just fascinating.
Yeah, we're really, really pleased with the value-added material behind the scenes, the interviews. We think Roger and Rob and everyone at Home Video has done a fantastic job. And we continue to be just absolutely delighted with the support from CBS. The people that we're working with, they couldn't be more passionate about this project, and it's just thrilling for us.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why I was really happy I got this set early, is the fact that I can take in some of these special features, because that's really what I buy Blu-ray sets for, is specifically the special features. And with Star Trek being such a landmark franchise, I'm really happy to see the care was taken to create something interesting. So I guess that kind of leads me to my next series of questions. What interesting materials turned up while you guys were building the HD remaster? I mean, like, did you find stuff you didn't expect? I mean, for example, people are talking about the 20 minutes that was lost in Measure of a Man in Season 2. Did you guys come across about anything like that in Season 1 you maybe couldn't necessarily put the tape because it was damaged or just too far gone?
The single most interesting piece, at least for me, was that tiny little clip of film from the main title sequence. I think you may have seen it.
Yep.
It's the last shot in the main title sequence where we can see people walking around in the observation lounge windows. I actually knew that it was simple pencil animation, but I had never actually seen the raw film. It just looks so crude and so simple, and yet it's a testament to the brilliance of the visual effects artists, because they knew exactly what we were going to read on camera, exactly what it was going to take to film to fool the eye. And of course, when you saw the original, it just looked like people walking in the window. And now, even more so, you people who have never noticed it before are going, "Oh my God, there's people there."
One of the things that I noticed specifically relating to that is just before the Enterprise jumps to warp in the opening sequence, I never noticed it until the HD transfer. It actually says Enterprise right on the hull section, right by the main deflector dish. And I never noticed. I mean, I've got the original Playmates toys hanging from my living room ceiling because I'm a huge nerd. And I never noticed that was actually included. And that's something that a lot of your work has really brought up. You really notice a lot more details in the models.
Well, there's a lot of detail on the models, on the sets, on almost everything that originally was included, really just more as texture than anything else. And thanks to the clarity of HD, you're being able to see a lot of artistry that was in there, that's always been there, but you never could really make out. And that's one of the fun things about just going through these things and finding these little Easter eggs.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real treat as a guy who loves practical effects. I mean, I'm a huge fan of anything that's done by, like, ILM and Stan Winston before he passed away. I mean, I love practical. I love models. I love miniatures. One of my favorite movies is Aliens, and that had extensive miniatures in it. So I guess as we begin to kind of wind things down, guys, what can we look forward to in subsequent seasons in terms of things that look really spectacular or upcoming special features?
Right now, we're just focused on the episodes themselves. So we do know, for example, that they're going to put a lot of effort into trying to make the extended version of Measure of a Man happen, and that's something we're very excited about. The actual extended cut, it's not that different from the original. The plot is pretty much the same, but there's more character development in it.
Yeah, and the Measure of a Man is one of our favorite episodes. So we're really hoping that they can pull it off, and we're really excited if it does happen that everybody will be able to see it.
One of the episodes I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys work on, it's not until the fifth or sixth season, Descent Part 1 and 2, those were the first episodes I ever saw of Star Trek. So literally I was assimilated by the Borg and became a huge Star Trek nerd after that. But I really got to say thank you guys for taking all the time and effort and the meticulous eye to detail to make these sets worth it for the next generation, pardon the pun, of Star Trek fans.
Well, you're welcome, but it's not just us. There's a whole bunch of people that are working very, very hard at CBS, and we couldn't be happier.
Well, all I have to ask is from all of us Star Trek fans out there, give a much-needed round of high fives. You guys have done a fantastic job on this set.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and thank you for watching the show.
My life, I don't know where it would be if I wasn't watching Star Trek, and that's kind of weird to admit. So, like I said, it's fantastic. So hopefully we get a chance to actually speak to you guys again.
That'd be great.
Well, guys, that was my interview with Denise and Michael Okuda. These guys, like I said, class act. They were very awesome during this interview. And like I said, go out, check out the Star Trek The Next Generation Blu-ray set. It's really cheap if you look on places like Amazon, but go to Walmart, Target, wherever. Buy this set, support it. And who knows, maybe we'll see other cool Star Trek series restored in the future. I know it'll be a little bit more difficult, but who knows? You can always hope. So anyway, guys, this is Mike the Birdman Dodd signing off for ThisWeekInGeek.net's Future Imperfect, brought to you by the good folks at SFI.org, Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club. Until next time, guys, live long and prosper.